6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. So glad you could join us. We're in Central Time, by the way, for those of you listening live. August 16th, 2022. It's a Tuesday. Yeah. And, of course, the end of summer sale is upon us. You have until the end of the month to stock up. And, of course, if you know anything about the summer sale, we just talked about that with Raymond D'Amico from Silver Botanical Products. You know, if you spend more than $99, you get 15% off. If you spend over $200, you get 20% off. So this is a good thing. We even give you 10% off if you spend under $99. How about that? And everything is while supplies last, no drop ship. Those are all excluded. But it's the end of the month, so you got 15 days basically to take advantage of this. Don't wait to the last minute, because while supplies last means just that. It's our end of summer sale. It's what we got to do here to stay afloat. We appreciate your support, too, from all of you out there that are contributing, buying us a cup of coffee and all the other good stuff. Dr. Mark Sherwood, former gubernatorial candidate in 2022. His website is Sherwood2022.com. And he's going to be on at the bottom of the hour to talk about the power grab by the World Health Organization and what we need to do to stop it. And did you know, according to a study published in the journal Nature Food, in the aftermath of a nuclear war between U.S. and Russia, over 5 billion people could starve to death as the ash and soot from burning cities enters the atmosphere and blocks out sunlight? You see, that's the thing about nuclear winter. Even if we're around and we survive the initial bombing, most of humanity is going to starve to death in the aftermath. It's one of the reasons why they call this mutual assured destruction. Now, do we know that will actually happen? No. Do we know that if we keep sticking our nose in proxy wars that it might happen? Possibly. We've got a Ukraine proxy war going on with Russia, and we could soon find ourselves, because the congressional delegations just can't seem to stay out of Taiwan. China has been running drills, and so has our naval fleet, both Australian and U.S. naval fleets. And from what I understand, Britain's naval fleets are in the area, South China Sea. They're running drills. Show of force, obviously. So do we want this kind of thing or not? I mean, you know, you've got these libs out there running the show, the shift show. U.S. investment giant BlackRock, in the meantime, is going to invest $701 million into Australian battery projects after agreeing to acquire Melbourne-based Acacia Energy. So, Acacia Energy, rather. Currently, it's got 9 projects across the country, with most advanced being its 300-megawatt Yulinda battery in the Western Downs region of Queensland. So BlackRock, you know, being the opportunists they are, and you have to be careful what's going on over here, too, because we're just reporting one thing from Australia in the world news. But BlackRock and Vanguard, using shell companies, are buying up real estate in America like nobody's business. They want to turn us into a nation of renters. You see, that's the part about you will own nothing. Now, in order to be happy, it means that everybody's being provided for. Well, how can you be provided for when you're not even around to enjoy it? It's one of the reasons why, when we look at the fact that you have all the baby boomers retiring and whatnot. And the sad part about living in the United States, even if we are still the greatest country on earth, we cannot be all things to all people. We cannot be a world police power and put out everybody's world fighting. We just can't do it. Don't have the resources. And of course, when you have the state of affairs the way they are currently in Washington, I think we can all agree. And if you have any comment about that, 844-769-2944. You know the number. We still have freedom of speech in America. Till they come for us. 14 FBI whistleblowers have contacted the committee investigating the raid of President Donald Trump's Florida home. 14 whistleblowers. Good people, according to Ohio's Jim Jordan. Says there's lots of good people in the FBI. It's the top that's the problem. Well, we knew that. Agents just do what they're told. But you know what? I don't know what school these agents went to, but in my book, they're all habitual liars. All one has to do is look at Ray Epps. You know the name. He was there on January 6th. James Ray Epps Sr. Remember that name? He had to move out of Arizona because of threats. He had a house and land in Queen Creek, Arizona. Reportedly sold for $2.2 million in April because of the threats and harassment he got. And he ended up moving to Colorado. Epps at one time was number 16 on the FBI's January 6th Most Wanted page, and all of a sudden it got scrubbed without any explanation, which makes you wonder if he was not an FBI agent provocateur. We can't seem to find Ray Epps, and the January 6th committee certainly doesn't want to talk to him, now do they? Because the truth might come out. This is why Liz Cheney's days are numbered. I have a feeling I just don't see her winning the primary. I think Wyoming Republicans, which outnumber the Democrats, are really perturbed with her behavior going after Trump, and they're not going to put up with it. And, of course, this affidavit that everybody is out there talking about, which led to the raid on Mar-a-Lago, they don't want to unseal it because it would irreparably harm the government's ongoing criminal investigation. This is all nutty. Because I believe the affidavit contains a lot of falsehoods. And that's why they don't want to unseal it. Because the longer they can keep that under seal, the more dirty work they can do. There is no due diligence here. Chance in West Virginia. How are you, sir? You're back again.
Yeah, Dave, yeah, you mentioned the Nation of Renters, and it brought back such fond, happy, and blissful memories when I was a renter before I bought my house.
Uh-huh.
All those wonderful days of the husband and wife next door arguing 24 hours a day, their dogs barking 24 hours a day, the kids making a racket all day. Oh, that's really something to look forward to.
Chance, what happened at night? Was he banging holes in the wall?
God knows, it was an adventure. that's why I'm saying I could never, ever go back to the day of renting. And I don't know how that's going to fly in this country. As for me, I did it most of my life, and boy, that's why I have to be sarcastic. Talk about a nightmare. And especially nowadays when people don't see eye to eye on anything, that makes it even more of an adventure. I mean,
oh, I know. Having a liberal living next door.
Oh, God, I can't see how that's going to work out. Okay, well, Dave, I just had to throw that piece in. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, I appreciate it. You know what? But that is all right. God bless you, too, sir. You know, the beauty of it is, too, is that you bring up a good point. Renting is no fun. I mean, home ownership is where it's at. Renting, to me, I mean, then you got to depend on the landlord when things break down. If the landlord's not around, well, I guess you're stuck. You end up fixing it yourself. Alan in Texas, how are you, sir?
Just real quick, Dave, some semi-original material. I call this my pledge of a grievance. I pledge allegiance of the fags in the United States of America and to the democracy to which they kneel. One nation under what God? With liberalism and just me for me.
That makes sense. All the sense in the world. That's exactly what we're seeing these days. I love it when the audience brings their own material.
I'll let you go with that, Dave. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. It's all the more reason Texas needs to secede from the Union. I know. I was at a nationalist meeting last night. It was absolutely wonderful. Man, I could not believe it was a packed house. And, I mean, people are charged up. They don't want Texas in the Union anymore. But speaking of people whose careers are dead, Liz Cheney, witch. And I don't think that the Democrats are going to come out in droves and cross party lines to try to defeat Trump-endorsed Harriet Hageman in the GOP primary being held today. 70% of Cheney's constituents like Donald Trump. So how do you think that's going to fare today, folks? You want to toss a coin? sorry, Liz, but your time is coming. I have a distinct feeling. The CEO of Smith & Wesson, do you remember that? Let me refresh your memory. Well, you just don't think we're going to let you walk out of here now, do you, punk? What do you mean we? Smith, Wesson, and me. You remember that? Oh, you're a class act, Callahan. Yep. Dirty Harry movies. Remember Smith & Wesson?
It's the most powerful handgun in the world. It'll blow your head clean off. Now you have to ask yourself, how many shots did I fire?
Yeah, speaking of fired, I remember he looked at the empty chair there at the Republican National Convention and went, you're fired. Well, guess what? The CEO of Smith & Wesson released a statement pushing back against House Democrats that want to take your guns, noting a Smith & Wesson firearm has never broken into a home. His statement comes weeks after Daniel Defense CEO Marty McDaniel and Sturm Ruger and Company CEO Christopher Colloy testified before a House Oversight Committee hearing as Democrats criticized firearm makers' marketing tactics and profits. You know what? Here's the thing. The more guns we buy, the less likely we're going to be invaded. But here's the thing you also have to remember. Ruby Ridge and Waco, these were two isolated incidents. They want to know whether or not you can sustain a chemical attack, which means if they flood your house with CS gas, which is flammable, is there a chance of starting a spark and burning the place to the ground? They want to know if you can withstand a chemical attack. In other words, do you have gas masks? And then they want to know if you possess weapons and what kind of weapons you possess. And see, the thing is that it's highly unlikely, again, that they are going to go out and try and assault an entire community without some sort of real serious pushback. Nope, they're going to do the same thing they did before. It's just we the people need to learn that if they open fire on our house, do not stop firing back until every single damn one of them is gone. I mean, you have the right to self-defense. Last time I checked. I mean, it's a suggestion, don't you think? Because, see, look what Waco did. They made a mistake, right? They could have kept shooting. They didn't. They had way more Branch Davidians than four cattle car trucks of jackbooted fascist ATF agents. So, you know, look at the scenario as it plays out. And this is, I'm just throwing stuff out on the table here. I'm not telling you to go and start a riot or a civil war. I'm just saying, learn from others' mistakes. Because the behavior patterns of the government are clearly there. If they're beating up and going neighborhood house to house and doing kicking indoors like they did in Hurricane Katrina, well, you know that eventually they're coming to your place. And you better have the no trespassing signs up. That, of course, is a suggestion. These people in Congress are twisted, and they claim that gun manufacturers sell the weapons of choice to mass murderers. Gun manufacturers do not sell guns to individuals. Even Breitbart News got that figured out. They sell guns to wholesalers and distributors who in turn sell them to federally licensed dealers who in turn sell them to citizens who pass a federal background check. Now, those who go out and shoot up malls and shoot up schools that bought weapons at dealers that are federally licensed dealers and passed a federal background check, that points a finger directly back on Congress because the feds didn't enforce the law. They didn't do a good enough background check. That's Congress's fault. And they're trying to take guns away from the law-abiding. This is the stupidity of our Congress. These people come up with the most asinine things I can think of. And a judge in Texas, guess what he did? Blocks restrictions on using P.O. boxes for voter registration. Some 5,000 Texans who used P.O. boxes as a voter registration address will likely be able to cast a ballot in the state's midterm elections after a federal judge blocked the 2021 state election law. Senate Bill 1111 attempted to tighten residency guidelines for Texas voters, but it was struck down this month by U.S. District Court Judge Lee Yackel. Are you ready for this? An appointee under former President George W. Bush. Wow. Said the state used vague language in the election law, and parts of it failed constitutional scrutiny. Well, guess what? Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is going to appeal that decision. He appealed it to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Yep. And a watchdog, the Functional Government Initiative, says the Department of Health and Human Services and two sub-agencies have violated federal law by refusing to provide information that was requested under a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act request. About time, filed two suits, they did. Department doesn't want to give up information. Guess what? They get taken to task. We told you a little earlier about Brighteon's plan. You know, they call themselves the pro-liberty video community. We have some stuff on Brighteon. But understand, some of the stuff that Health Ranger reports, I don't know. I sometimes want to take one of those Cupid dolls and stick a needle in it. Here's the latest paragraphs about taking down America. Thanks to sources that have stepped forward with inside information, we now know some details about a plan we're told is being pursued by the Biden regime. Notice they call that a regime. To achieve the complete overthrow and destruction of the United States of America. The recent FBI DOJ raid on Mar-a-Lago is a key element of this plan. The raid was reportedly designed to provoke an armed uprising among Trump supporters, or at least encourage nationwide protests that could be exploited by the FBI to run undercover agents dressed up as MAGA supporters. Now, don't be surprised if some of them come out with Melania's wardrobe on. God, we don't know what they took. Remember, they did invade Melania's closet. They had a party in there, probably. They thought, ooh, look, a trans closet. And, of course, the Brighteon paragraph continues, if this plan succeeds, it ends with UN troops occupying America and disarming the American people at gunpoint. Fortunately, there are many white hat elements working to stop this plan, and the American people are waking up like never before. I don't know. Patrice just called last hour and said, why aren't people waking up? They've been lulled into a false sense of security. Now, let me ask you this, those of you out there vetting information. Is the paragraphs I just read from Brighteon, from Health Ranger, true or false? Isn't it true that everybody's going to rally and the Trump supporters are going to call to arms and march in Washington and take them all out? Isn't it true? No. We're decent people here. We don't want violence. No, you see, and when you put stuff out there like this, you shine a light on yourself and not, I don't care how many white hat elements are out there. When you go online and you do this to get headlines and you sensationalize, you kind of go against the grain of human decency. Because nobody likes fear-mongering, Mike. Here again, another article I'm taking issue with. Everybody needs to get the cognitive dissonance out of your head and start thinking in realistic terms. If UN troops are coming down the road, trust me, you'll know who they are because they're wearing powder blue helmets. And if you see jeeps full of them, you know what they're there for, and your neighborhood better wake up, arm themselves to the teeth, and get ready for a firefight, because if, in fact, that were to ever happen, that is exactly what it would end up like. Because this is what Biden would do. He's so much of a schmuck, he'd call on the UN. And you know the UN, I mean, you remember the 350 troops that were captured by Serbian forces over there? They just literally surrendered to them. I mean, these people are ridiculous if they think they've got any kind of an army that could withstand the resistance of America. They were a little smarter than they give us credit for. And, of course, J.P. Morgan is out right now issuing a dire warning for the U.S. economy. Jamie Dimon, the rich. I won't. You substitute your own expletive. He's warning investors of the likelihood of a downturn in the U.S. economy, saying something worse than a hard recession could be on the horizon. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And see, in opposition to that, we have a video, Where to Stash Your Cash in 2022, from finance guru Catherine Austin Fitz, how to safeguard your finances and invest in your community instead of tyrannical governments and giant corporations. Get your money out of Wall Street. That's what I would do. I did. Keep cash in your home in a fireproof safe. Get rid of debt. Increases your resiliency. Keeping enough non-perishable food on hand to feed your family for 2 years. Stocking up on as many other households good as you can for barter. Silver and gold coins. Using them with your neighbors and community. She's talking our lingo here, folks. We're going to continue this conversation with Dr. Mark Sherwood after the break. You got to stay with us for this.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Catherine of the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, You know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, and it's Tuesday, August 16th, 2022, here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Thank you so much for joining us for this final segment of the show. You're going to love this because we have former gubernatorial candidate from Oklahoma, Dr. Mark Sherwood, with us on the phone. I know. I wish we would have seen you get elected here, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But you got 50,000 votes, and we move forward. Dr. Mark, thanks so much for joining us on the show. You did appear at Clay Clark, did you not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been in every one of those events since it started. I think we're up to maybe 24 now at this point. So it's been a run, yeah.
Yeah, it has, and we appreciate everything that you're doing and Godspeed in that effect. World Health Organization apparently has come to the forefront again, rearing its ugly head and telling people that they know better than we do on whether they should be allowed to declare a pandemic and we need to capitulate. Would that be a fair statement?
It would be a fair statement. And unfortunately, sad to say, it seems like people are actually listening to that. And I would have thought at this point that fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you would apply.
I would think so, too, because of the fact that this pandemic turned out to be a basket full of lies, thanks to the new tell-all book, which I've told everybody, please don't buy that book. We don't want Dr. Deborah Birx getting rich off of lies, she told President Trump and we the people, because she did. She lied about everything and ruined our economy. She sided with Fauci. I mean, they all knew what they were doing. You knew what they were doing. Everybody mm-hmm. that's associated with Clay Clark knew what they were doing. And it's medical tyranny. And, I mean, you're a doctor. I mean, you're speaking out about all of this. And what's the warning to America right now?
Man, the warning to America is to understand and really grasp the idea that we have been lied to. And it's hard. I mean, that is a hard thing that you look at leadership, you look at government entities, you look at organizations like this that are supposed to have at least some level of integrity, and you really want to believe that they're telling the truth. You really don't want to believe that it's been a lie. But we need to grasp the idea that we have been lied to, and that is a hard, if you'll pardon the pun, pill to swallow. And we have been completely deceived, and we have to peaceably, respectfully, but forcibly stand up and rebel against it at this point.
And that means getting on the phone and calling your current congressperson or senator. How is this going to become law if it were to become law? I can't see it happening because, frankly, the 10th Amendment to the Constitution reserves all of these rights to the states, not the federal government, including entering into treaties with the World Health Organization that basically, in our book, are unconstitutional.
You know, you nailed it right there. And I hope people that are listening right now will hear what we're saying clearly, because what we're saying right now will help people grasp a hold of the concept of how do we save and salvage the idea of our constitutional republic. The 10th Amendment's clear that anything that's not laid out specifically as a power given to Congress is retained by the people in the states, respectively. If you look at Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, you'll see Congress has 18 powers, not 1,800,000 like some people think. And the president has less. Now, the president does have the ability to negotiate treaties. But We did not ever give up the right to government to negotiate our health. So the whole negotiation process regarding our health or health sovereignty is a complete false negotiation, unconstitutional, irrelevant to the state, and therefore it should have zero bearing on the states. And the governors and the sheriffs at these states, respectively, should have the awareness and the courage and the backbone to look at the WHO and say, who do you think you are? And give them two words, get out. And that would be my stance on that.
Well, true. And I know that as far as enforcement of any law, we already know that the world, United Nations has basically coughed up $1 billion, or the World Bank, rather, to vaccine mandates, vaccine passports, excuse me. And so in order to travel, you have to have a vaccine passport. This is part of the authoritarianism that we are facing if we allow this thing to move forward. This is how they're going to try to control us. And so, you know, we have to look at some of these news articles, liberal world order or new world order. It's all a terrible idea. Seriously, Dr. Mark, you have looked at the equation here. What do you think the chances are of success of these people of taking over the people?
I think the people of America are the tipping point of this. I think the world right now, and this is from my travels around the country and my involvement in a major political campaign, the people of America, the patriots, the people that still love God and honor our country and appreciate the Constitution, they are the gatekeepers right now. I think the world is watching to see what America does, because you're right. If the globalists have their way, one day it's vaccine passports. The next day it's a currency that's managed based upon your social and economic behaviors. And so that's where we're going if we don't be careful. And we, the patriots, we, the people of America, need to make sure we hold the line, because we see what's happened in other countries. Look at Canada. Look at Australia. When people lose their rights that they've given up or acquiesced or just diverted over to the federal government or global governance or whatever you want to look at, these rights get lost and they get transferred into something called privileges. And that is the concept of going from freedom to tyranny. And I think that's where we are right now. And the Americans need to listen carefully and hold the line to this thing called freedom.
Well, and of course, now, I don't know, too many people are aware that you're an ex-pro baseball player and a 24-year retired veteran of the Tulsa Police Department, where you logged in a decade of courageous service on their SWAT team. So, I mean, you have seen and you're aware of the behavior of law enforcement, and I got to ask you this. Do you see, if they were to do any of this stuff, do you see more of a police state actually starting up in America, worse than what it is now?
Yeah, it's interesting, because I've been asked that question quite a bit, and this is what I know from experience. I know people that still work in law enforcement. I know people that work in pretty much every branch of law enforcement, both federal, local, county, and state, all of those inclusive. Now, having said that, I realize that the law enforcement is a tool that governments can use to make people comply. However, in America at this point, I think, and I really believe this, people can call me crazy and I'll accept the label. I believe there's enough law enforcement people around this land that would absolutely not obey those directives given from higher ups, even if it costs them their jobs at this point, because I think you're going to have enough. I think if the military, men and women that serve our country, willing to give their lives if need be, law enforcement willing to serve the communities, give their lives if need be, there's still enough goodness, there's still enough honor, there's still enough ability to serve that idea, that concept, that mantra of that inside the heart of mankind in America, that I believe there's going to be more of those men and women stand up and say, I will absolutely not do that. And again, that goes back to the heart of what I just said a moment ago, the honor with which we stand at this moment is going to be the tipping point in our history of where we're going to go or not go.
And see, I know that you've talked to Sheriff Richard Mack, and he has a huge campaign going on right now to try to make as and get as many sheriffs on board to become constitutional sheriffs as possible. Did he ever fill you in on the progress that he's making?
Yeah, Richard and I are very close friends. We got to know each other probably about 6 months ago, and we hit it off because, you know, I tease him all the time. I said, hey, I served law enforcement longer than you did, and so we had a good laugh about that. But we view life the same way. We have the same spiritual foundation, and we have the same understanding of the Constitution, the intent thereof. And so, you know, I'm doing my best in my area and my circle of influence to help him recruit and educate sheriffs. And frankly, there's a resistance out there, and this is sad. There's a resistance out there from sheriffs because these are elected officials, right? Let's keep that in mind. They're not appointed. They're elected. And when you deal with elections, you deal with, you know, popularity, popular vote, finances, contributions. You know, you have to deal with the criticism. And you have to be a strong human being with an incredibly resilient backbone. And it's hard because, like, even Richard, you know, he lost an election, right? And we forget that. He lost an election, and probably because he stood up for the right thing. So you might lose an election, and that's key, but you won't lose the war. And that's the mindset we have to have. You have to stand up for right. Even if you're a sheriff, you say, I want to be a constitutional sheriff and teach the people that I'm called to protect and serve the county there. I've got to teach people that. And I think, and I'm hoping with high hopes, that will continue to sort of spread the wings and build more momentum, because when, and I'm going to speak in faith here, when we get a vast number of those sheriffs around this country that are on board from a local level, that's going to change the trajectory, and that's key to what I said earlier of the people stepping up, standing up, speaking up, and holding on.
Well, and that is if the sheriffs would be willing to deputize people. I mean, there may not even be enough time for that. Brideon's health ranger was out broadcasting the fact that we could be seeing UN troops patrolling the country, and I'm just like, Mike, what are you doing? You know, you spoke before. So why are you positing stuff like this? I don't see blue hats running around here, do you?
I don't, and I like Mike a lot. Mike's an incredibly smart guy, but this is me. I respectfully like to broadcast the aware of stuff, but I don't like to get people in a context of fear, because I think that destroys people's health and our ability to think clearly and rationally and make good decisions in a responsive way versus just a reactionary way. So I absolutely do not see UN blue helmets traveling around the country, because there are people in the country that carry what's called a gun. And you're not going to take my gun. You're not going to get in my home over my dead body, literally. And that's the way people think in conservative, true republic stances, Americas.
Yeah, and so what do you think, just out of curiosity, because we've had Daniel Miller on the show before, about the Texas nationalist movement wanting to secede, or at least put it on a referendum where they can secede from the union?
I have been heavily studying that concept. I've been in contact with a lot of people that have approached me, and I don't think this is giving anybody any surprise. They've approached me about being the leader of the Republic of Oklahoma. So there is a lot of momentum going that direction. And from a constitutional standpoint, as I've looked at the documentation, they are accurate. Now, it's going to take some fortitude, and I think that is a semblance of a movement that's peaceably standing against what is rapidly becoming, clearly to everybody, a tyrannical, out of control, oversized, overpowered government.
Well, that's exactly what the Texan folks are saying down here. And we've talked to actual people from Oklahoma that are asking, well, can you take us with you when you go? And we're like, yeah. I'm sorry, but you got to do it on your own. The 10th Amendment, basically, people at least need to have the right to vote yes or no. That's been the problem, is because the political hierarchy in these states seems to favor the status quo of what's going on in D.C. They're all part of that uniparty system out there, which we seem to have, that loves power and doesn't want to give it up. And as long as they can, you know, whether they're giving away so much money to the federal government, who's writing checks its body can't cash, and then we the people are stuck in the crosshairs. Something's going to have to give in each state, per se, for something like this to happen. And I think, you know, the amendment through the legislature is probably going to be the way to go.
I completely agree with you. The federal government is, in the way it was laid out, is like the states are the parent in this relationship. So these states, which are united, well, at least in theory, we hope, in this union of states, these individual states, which have a capital and, you know, governor and the three branches of government, et cetera, you know, they were designed to be the parent over this little thing called the federal government. But what's happened over time, we've seen that relationship switch. And when you have a parent-child relationship in a family, when the child gets too much power and he or she is spoiled with a blank credit card, a Maserati, and doesn't even have a driver's license, that's what you have at the federal government right now. They're given responsibilities that they're not equipped, handled, or were called to do. And so we have done that. They're out of control. They don't want to let go of that power. And why would they? You know, like, the love of money is the root of all evil, and in all of us, the temptation to gravitate towards that power, fame, fortune, influence is there. You know, my wife and I sort of, you know, keep each other in line, you know, because I just stay grounded. I'm just everybody. I'm like one of everybody else. And so we've got to keep that in mind, that the temptation is there, and that's what's happened. And so people get into that, and they get corrupted by it. And I honestly think it's too far gone at this point, the federal level, to fix it. So I look at, you know, movements like the ROT, the Republic of Texas, as constructive, not a negative, constructive. They're not out to, you know, cause war. They're out to stand up for people. And I honor and appreciate that.
Well, we appreciate you in that comment, too, by the way. Sherry in Kansas, you're on the phone with Dr. Mark Sherwood. Go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Sherwood, you've got that right. The child has become the parent in this situation. One of the problems I see, especially on when these entities like at the county or the city or the school board level, they take money from the federal government and it comes with strings attached. And I can particularly see a sheriff that gets elected that is constrained by the prior sheriff that maybe took some money or something. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, Sherry, that's a great comment. Thanks for being a good northern border to us here in Oklahoma. But this is the key thing right here. The federal government prints money that's of no value, and they begin to throw it at states. The states have forgotten, the people have forgotten, and the counties have forgotten how to be self-sustaining. In other words, they've forgotten how to be self-governing or self-sovereign. And that's a key element. We as people, and this goes back right back to you, me, you know, all of us as individual people, do we have the wherewithal to be able to take care of ourselves, to go out here and work, plant, grow if need be, raise if need be, take care of self without needing governmental assistance, without needing governmental money? And that's the key to get to breaking free from bondage. And, you know, on my platform that I ran on, and even in our lives here in our clinic and teaching people, that's our mentality. Because I think there's three big bondage pieces in our world. I think there's big government. People get in bondage to that, as you stated. There's people that get in bondage to big pharma, big drug, big food and maybe even big church. They forget how to even study the Bible by themselves, right? You have to have somebody teach you. And so these areas we have to be prepared to break free from, and it's going to take, again, governors and sheriffs that have the wherewithal to say, you know what? We appreciate you, federal government. Thanks for your help. You want to give us money? Great. That's fine. We'll take it. But we're not going to adhere by any sort of strings. We're going to do with it what we want to do. Or you can keep it. And on the state level, the states would say, you know, we don't want that anymore. The federal government will say, all right, we'll take away your money. And the states have to be prepared to say, fine, we're not going to give you any money either. You know, and that's where we have to get to. And that's going to take some courageous souls, but we've got them. That's why we're called Americans.
And see, one of the things that, go ahead, Sherry.
Well, let me leave you with this. Sounds like all the states need to do state banks like North Dakota. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Good comment there.
Yeah. Bank of North Dakota. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that I know. And they're so solvent, it's unbelievable what they've done for the state of North Dakota. And literally, if North Dakota ever seceded from the Union, their entire financial structure appears to already be fully set. I mean, they are ready to go. Whereas, you know, states like Oklahoma and Texas would, you know, basically have to reintegrate and redo everything. I think that the biggest problem, Dr. Sherwood, that we're seeing is a lot of people are so dependent on the government, Social Security, Medicare. Oh, my God, what happens if we secede from the Union? We're going to have a real problem because all my benefits are going to get cut off. You know, see, this is what's stopping them.
Yeah, you're right. And so, you know, it boils down to this thing of fear, doesn't it? You know, I'm afraid that I can't make it. I'm afraid that I won't survive. I'm afraid that I won't have enough. And fear controls people. And so this has been the playbook from, you know, day one of these globalists, these perennial power-hungry people, as I call them. You know, they want to control people by fear because you need me to take care of you. And so it's going to take movements of groups of people. But I go back to the Declaration of Independence, and, you know, like it or not, there was only 56 people that signed that thing. So I think, well, we've got more than 56, so let's have the courage to step up. And it's going to take, you know, movements like is happening in Texas, you know, and kind of people getting inspired to step up. And I think that gives us a glimmer of hope. I'm hopeful anyway.
Well, it's all supposed to be peaceful. It's not supposed to be, you know, violent. And the thing is that there's a lot of fear-mongering going out there, Project Fear. I mean, everybody, we're expecting, you know, next year they're going to rally around this. We're going to try to get Daniel Miller from the Texas Nationalist Movement on next Thursday at noon. I'm just getting some back-channel email here from his team that he's available then to talk to us. And so we're going to try to get him back on the show. I would love to have you guys in a think tank on the radio together. That would be awesome because, I mean, everything that you're saying, Dr. Sherwood, is just it flies right in the face of everything that we stand for in our favor. And the 10th Amendment is, you know, what we've been hanging the hat on. I think every state needs to be looking at this because I don't believe that we can continue to tolerate what might happen in November. And that's something else I want to talk to you about. Since you've been in the political spectrum, what do you see happening in November? Because people are just really, really leery that they're going to try to pull the same nonsense again they did in 2020. What's your take?
Well, I think they are. I think they've tried to do that with, you know, back to the WHO, you know, the CDC, et cetera, all those three-letter entities that I think the three-letter entities have become today's four-letter words for the conservative, the true conservative, and they should be. But I think they're going to try to cheat again. They're going to try to manipulate. They're going to try to shift the election as best they can, bring confusion, and use fear to do that. If you can use fear to keep people at home, you have the opportunity to do more ballot harvesting or more absentee voting, et cetera. And I still think they're going to try to change and manipulate it. I am kind of with you on this. I think we do our very, very best to hold the line with what we're doing right now, communicating truth to people, and we hope for the best in November. But realizing even if, and this is so critical, I believe, even if the shift of power within Congress and Senate, and even within the presidency, even if that shifts, is that going to solve the uniparty, bureaucratic, global power agenda? It's not. It is not. And because of that, we can't lose sight of where the victory is found. The victory is found on the ground. It's found in the grassroots. It's found in, you know, the sovereign citizen, the state national. It's found in the ability of a human being to stand and say, no, I'm not going to be controlled by another party. So I think we have to not just look at November as a saving grace, but temper it with some balance. And I think if we do that and don't lose track of the real purpose for what we got to do, the real mission ahead, I think we'll be in good shape. And certainly, man, I think you know, a good dialogue with Mr. Miller would be great sometime. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that thought, and we'll see what we can do about that, Dr. Mark. In the meantime, yeah, we're out of time, and I appreciate you coming on the program again. And I mean, just God bless you for everything that you're doing out there and the fact you're speaking up, because we need more people like you doing that. And so thank you so much for coming on the show today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I look forward to any time.
You bet. Thank you, sir. And we're out of time once again. And if, by the way, any of you bought any Capri Sun from Kraft Heinz Company, they're recalling cases of juice after a cleaning solution was inadvertently introduced into a production line. Capri Sun, remember that. Don't buy it. It's a recall. It's dangerous. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of the Power Hour. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.